you, Lord. Wow. Happy Mother's Day. Ha ha. Whoa. Thank you, Lord. You are so amazing. What a privilege. Oh, mothers, stay standing. The rest of you, grab a seat. We celebrate you. We celebrate life. We thank you that God has chosen you. Mothers, stand up. You are a mother in any way, shape, or form. God knows. We celebrate you. We honor you. And some of the wonderful gentlemen in this place will come and give you a rose to let you know that we honor you. And we honor God's way of mothers and fathers coming together. And the family, the Lord's all about the family. How many of us believe that? How many of us live for family? We live for Jesus, and Jesus births healthy families. And the Lord wants us to know that this is a beautiful celebration today of His plan for mankind. We honor you today. Well done, mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers. Yeah. Some of you may not have... Oh, I'll take one. Thank you. I am. I'm a mother. I'm a grandmother. Ha! In Jesus' name. How many of us know that some of us may have experienced some loss during this season of motherhood, season of our lives? The Lord understands our loss, but He is the great restorer. He is the one who restores relationships. He restores and mends, and He's the restorer of the breach. So if this brings any pain to you today, know that the Lord says to you, mothers, that His eyes are on you. If there, oh, another one, I get two. This is great. If I keep talking, they'll just... Well, maybe someone took the one that was there. No. But this is a great day. Just smell the rose. I see some of you putting it up to your nose. Isn't that great? And some people today went home to be with their mothers. Not home, but went somewhere else today. And some of your mothers actually may have gone home to be with the Lord, or may not have known the Lord. And so this is a bittersweet day for some. But the Lord says, you know, I am the author of life. I'm a giver of life. And so whether you've had a mother who fully was able and capable of nurturing you or not, each one of us came from a mom. Amen? And so we celebrate and we honor all the moms in here. And sometimes that brings a little bit of ouch. And sometimes there's just a great blessing of joy that comes through our heart. But either way, and sometimes there's that middle of, oh, I don't know. But the Lord says that we are to honor our mothers and our fathers. And today we honor you. And we say thank you, those of you who are in here. And we thank God for your lives. Some of you are newer at this than others. But we want you to know that we're all about moms in this house, moms and dads. And we love the family. And we don't want to elevate the family above the Lord, do we? Our families are a spillage, outpouring of the goodness of God. We're believing that. And God wants us to honor our family. So we honor you today. How many of you have some plans for later on today? Maybe for our mothers or extended mothers or mothers who've stood in the gap. Some of you have had mothers, spiritual mothers. Some of you have had grandmothers. Some of you have had other people who have been in a place of influence in your life. And the Lord says, that's from my hand. Recognize the blessing. And if there has been some pain, recognize the Lord gives us the ability to forgive, release, and then allow that blessing to continue to flow. So for anybody in here who's had some difficult years and may still be having those difficult years, we honor you and we ask you to still honor your mother and say, God, thank you for giving me mother. Thank you so much. Thank you for new life. Some of you have had moms who, again, during this year even, have gone home to be with the Lord. And we do know that brings a, you know, in the heart. And so we just want to say today that we love you, we care for you, we bless you, and the Lord understands. And He is the great peace giver. So, Lord, I thank you for a blanket of comfort right now that just spills over every person here who has experienced some heartache dealing with their mothers in some way, whether it's a physical loss, emotional loss in any way. We just say, Lord, bless and let your comforting spirit just come. Holy Spirit, just come right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And we see little ones growing up in here who are going to be amazing mothers. Amazing, amazing. We have a group here called Raising Up Future Forerunners, which is amazingly together for those who are raising up these little ones. And I love to hear the results of what's going on in that group, because that's our job, isn't it? To say, all right, Lord Jesus, what have you done? And now how do we step in to take that authority that you've given us, that authority of love, and then carry it and then pass that baton and see how you can be glorified through that. So if you don't know about that, you want to find out about that group, Raising Up Future Forerunners. It's all about love. So we just praise God today. How many of us are having a good time this morning? How many of us have heard that God is not angry, God is not mad? I think we sing about that. God is not dead, he's surely alive. God is not angry, he's happy. The Lord is joyful. He's always in a good mood. He's never mean. He's never upset with us. You know, I love that about our God. The nature of our God is so amazing. So amazing that as we get to know him more and more and more, and we have that revelation of, you're just really cool, God. You are just, I'm upset inside, but you're not. Let's see if we can bridge that gap. And as we have more of that revelatory help inside of us, that leads us into greater encounters, greater encounters, greater encounters of his love with him. I love that. I love to be loved, and I love to release love. And we've created for that. So is this a message about love? You betcha. Always. Because there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we're going to release the children. Release. It sounds like they're being held. Release. But enjoy. Take off. Go to. Take a step out that door to the left and go to kingdom class. Hey, Beth. Hello. Oops, excuse me. Woohoo. Amen. Okay. How yay, God. We just want to glorify the name of the Lord. I think we're beginning to learn how to do that more and more. What? This is the beginning? Oh, yes. This is the beginning. There's so much to come, so much more to come. Mm-hmm. Yes, Lord, you are so good. Yeah. Can you flip that on up there? Is that on? That? Yes, that is that. We're taping some of these times where we're sharing together and seeing what God will do with them. We'd love to be able to see these offered to others outside of Frontline at some point here, and also to be borrowed or whatever on our website. We're figuring out how to do all of that. And so that's why you see, you know, the cameras going. And certainly if you do miss an opportunity to share in the glory here, you can go online to our website, and we have podcasts there. So Lord, we're just grateful and thankful to you today. You are so amazing. You are surely alive. And we do celebrate you today, and we thank you, Lord, for continued release of your goodness, continued release of your mercy, continual release of your everlasting love all over us. Thank you, Lord, that we can grow closer and closer today to you, understanding our place, understanding who you are, with that yada feeling, that Hebrew yada sense of you knowing us and you knowing about us and you having seen us and been with us, knowing who we are. And we thank you, Lord God, that we can have that closeness where we can know you intimately, personally, and that our lives are changed and so many others are changed as a result of that. We give you the praise today and say amen. Amen. All right, let's turn in our Bibles if we can. If we will. That's open to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. Okay. Ooh, the noise. The blocker of the noise. Okay. Ephesians 3:19. How many of us love to read the book of Ephesians? How many of us do read the book of Ephesians? I don't really want to see your hand. I just want you to put it up to the Lord. Say, yes, yes, yes. We want to increase this year, don't we, in 2012? Don't we want to increase? And say, Lord, I want to know you more. I want greater revelation, understanding, connection with you. Oh, you are so, so good. Mm-hmm. Amen. And Ephesians 3:19. We can back it up to 3:14 through 21, but 3:19 is a highlighted one I would like to go over today. But 14 through 21, I can read it. You can kind of follow along in your Bibles if you would. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. For this reason. There must be a reason. What is the reason? The goodness of God is expressed throughout Ephesians. Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, Ephesians 3. The nature of God, the character of God, the richness of what he expects of us, so to speak, as worshipers. Just the revelation of the extreme nature of blessing that God is. And as a result of how he expresses himself to us and our ability to be able to connect with him so beautifully and so freely. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father. It's stated in verse 14. Verse 15 says, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Interesting. So that he would grant you, as Paul was talking to those in Ephesus, to the Ephesians, which is also for us today, that he would grant you receiving what we don't deserve, but that we would be the recipients. I love it. Receive. I think we've heard that message, haven't we, recently? Receive, believe, destroy in advance. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. Free gift. Thank you, Lord. You are the strengthener. You are the releaser. You are the giver of power. And you grant this to me. I don't have to do something. You grant. According to who you are, not according to who I am, according to who you are, that you would grant us, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with power through your Spirit or his Spirit in the inner man. So that, and this is a prayer that Paul gave really for the Ephesians, and it's also for us to build and edify us, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may do what? Now, these are familiar verses to many of us, but I want to pull some things out of here. Let's look at it again. That he may grant you, according to his riches, what? To be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so the strengthening comes, Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. So he enables that dwelling to occur. He enables that release from heaven to come, and he enables us to be able to receive. Sounds like a win-win situation. The Lord is releasing right now, and he's granting right now. And he's saying, where are my recipients? Where are my receivers? That's all they have to do is decide they want to receive. Because I am doing this. This is my nature. This is who I am. I'm not stopping. I'm continuing to flood the hearts of my people, my creation, my beloved, my children, my family. Be strengthened with power so that Christ may dwell in your heart through faith, not fear, through faith, through the faith of Christ, the faith in Christ and of Christ, and that we would be rooted and grounded in his love. So if we're going to be rooted and grounded, that means that we can become unmovable, unshaken, completely tethered to the grace giver. Tethered. Imagine a tetherball. Remember that when you're on the playground? You guys like playing tetherball when you were kids? That was one of my favorite things to do. I thought I could probably control it a little bit, you know, because it was right there, but it really didn't work. But I was, you know, it bought me in the head or whatever. But I always thought, how cool, that ball isn't going anywhere. Because it's going to stay tethered to that rope on that pole. And it's something that can be conquered, I used to think. And so I'd bat that thing and then try to bat it again and get that thing wrapped around as fast as I could and think of new strategies. This is my little girl thinking at that point. But the tethering of that. They called it tetherball because there's a rope tethered to the ball, and then there's a movement, there's an action. It's like bam, slap, slide. And I love doing that, as you know from previous messages. I love to do those kinds of things, to try to overcome, to try to smack some things around in a good way, in love. Things that get in the way of success. And that, you know, this was something that I was able to do. And the success for me at that point was being able to see that ball that nobody else could get to wrap around. And I could wrap that thing around and the opponent couldn't do it. And that was really fun for me. It probably was prophetic and I didn't realize it. But that's a beginning for me. And in this particular verse, it says, to be strengthened with power through the Spirit in his inner being so that Christ can dwell in your heart through faith, that you being rooted and grounded or tethered in love may be able to do something. Now, I love this. Now we're able to do something more because of love. So if we don't really receive love, we're not going to be able to continue in that tethering process because the love is being given. It's being released. There it is. Love's coming. Love's coming. But we need to be able to receive so that we will be strengthened, rooted and grounded in his love and being strengthened and built up. So to be strengthened with power through his Spirit so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through this faith that he gives us, that you being rooted and grounded, tethered in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Comprehend. Comprehend means get it. Comprehend means to receive inside of our heart, not just in our brain, but to be able to receive in it where it just absolutely takes root, something positive happens. What is the breadth, length, height, and depth of love? Okay? So we're going to actually begin to understand what love looks like. We're going to have a beginning as we continue to stay under that faucet of love. It's just love. This faucet is pouring out, pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. Some of you know that we went with our family the last couple of days down to Columbus and went to Cosi and went to a water park and had good family time and went to the zoo and did some fun stuff. And at this one water park that we went to, I was thinking about it this morning and I thought, I don't know how much water was in that big vat. Josh, do you remember that big barrel that was on the top? At the top of the water slides and all of that, there was this great big battle at Fort Rapids Park. Do you remember how much water was up there? Do you remember how much it held? It was probably written in the write-up, and we just went, wow, but this is a gigantic barrel. As big as the drum cage. Thank you, that's good. As big as the drum cage, water is filled up in there, and the water was constantly flowing in. I remember one time I was standing there looking at this going, all right, I can't see inside of it, but I know water's coming out of this monster pipe at the very top, water that had been gathered from different sources, coming down, filling up this drum cage-sized barrel with all kinds of water, but it was on, you know, some kind of tilted spring so that it was movable. And as the water was filling up, and I was trying to see where the spout was positioned, but the spout was hanging on one side of this this barrel and hanging into it, or I guess I should say it was just actually hanging over it. And the water's coming down, and as it would fill up to the top, a lot of the kids would be like, oh, because this barrel was actually going to tilt. The way that it was structured, it wasn't just filling up and then it overflows. The barrel was going to tilt a little bit, the way it was structured. And I don't know how the mechanics of that, maybe you can add to that. But it was just amazing to me. It was like, wow. So they're watching, the little kids are watching because they're trying to figure out, and I was doing it too. All right, the water is filling up any moment. Then I thought, no, this is smart. I can just figure this out. It's probably 5 to 6 minutes it's going to take for this to fill up again. Because I asked Josh, is it 5 or 7 minutes? Something like that. So I didn't have a watch in the water park. So I'm looking at this thing, trying to figure it out. But I knew it was going to go over. I knew it was going to tilt because that's what it was designed to do. Huh. So the way it was designed, the water came in, and then it started to move. It started to rock just a little bit. It's like, oh my. And right before it splashed, and that was the idea, it was going to come down and splash over anybody who was around at the bottom, and it would splash along the sides for anybody else who didn't quite want to stand there, or they were walking up another part of the water park. And some of the kids would be just like, ah, and down it would go on them. And some of them got actually flattened. I think our grandson, David, wasn't he under it at one point? Now, he's only 4, and I didn't see this. And he was okay, obviously. He's not here today, but it's not because of that. So he's really okay. But Michael said that he was watching him, and it was like, oh, there's my kid on the floor. It's like, boom, the water was so strong, and it was so powerful. It just overwhelmed anybody who was around. Some of the bigger kids, you know, were able to go, oh, but it was startling to Dave, and he was fine when he got up. But the idea is that there was a clue also for me, though, when I was looking up one point. I was looking up in this barrel, and I saw bubbles coming up. Anybody in the family see that? Was I the only one? Yes. Okay. Well, I saw the bubbles, but there were a few bubbles that were coming up at the very end, and I thought, any second, this baby's going over. This is good. And I'd watch it, and the bubbles were going off, and it was just an indicator to me that this was ready to dump. And I really was saying, Lord, I know this is prophetic. You know, I'm not just looking everywhere under every bush. Is that prophetic? But yes, most everything has a connection in some respect. And the Lord says, first the natural, then the spiritual. Let me show you what this can mean. So I was looking at this thinking, Lord, you're just so amazing. You just continued. You're not a barrel. You're not a drum cage. But you just continue to fill up your people. And you want the overflow from your love to splash onto everybody around them so they're flattened by love. Absolutely, completely washed and spilled by the love, spilled over with the love that comes out of each one of us, and that comes from the Lord. But he's the one that keeps filling it up. And this pipe that was leading into this vat was never ending. The water was never ending. It was just continuously on until the water park turned it off at night. But it was continuously flowing right into that. And I watched it, and I was so amazed. This very, very tiny pipe, considering the size of this vat. And it was interesting because when the water was spilled, the water bucket or the vat at the top didn't completely dump out. There was just this overflow. It rose to a point where it started moving the bucket back and forth in such a way it was doing what it was created to do. And then the water just spilled, boom, again. And then the continuous flow came. And I thought, what a picture for each one of us. In fact, the well wasn't empty at all. The vat wasn't empty. There was still water down there. It wasn't completely empty, to my understanding, from what I could see, because it didn't completely tilt out. But the majority of the water was gone, a lot of it. And I thought, wow, Lord, isn't that just like you have set it up for us, that you would help us understand your expressed love for each one of us in such a way that we could then so engage more and more and more of that love and desire that every person around us would experience that consistent splash everywhere we go, even in the challenging times when we're with people who don't want to be splashed, they think, or people who resist a splash from you, or whatever it would be. The Lord says, I've designed you to splash your love, who I am in you completely, to splash on every family member you have, especially the most difficult ones, but all of them, all of our family members, our spiritual family, our natural family. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you such a capacity, enlarge the capacity of your heart to such a degree that you won't even be able to help yourself, because that spout, you're under that spout. And sometimes we've been singing, you know, we've heard this a long time ago, I want to be under the spout where the glory comes out. You know, it's like there's all of a sudden there's this glory in a spout. It's like, that's a little bit short-sighted. It's like, oh, I'm going to stand there and hope that I get some of this stuff. And I thought about that too. I thought, well, there was a nice splash underneath this bucket that went over, and the kids went, ah, and then ran around, and then came back, ah. But it wasn't necessarily something that stayed with them. And I thought, Lord, what a reminder to me. I really do need to stay in that, under that spout, in that vat. And I need to allow that to continue to rise so that there would be that absolute flexibility and tilt inside of me, that when I'm around someone who's a little more challenging, I am not finding them wanting, meaning that I'm not looking at them, sizing this up, and I can see this is who they are, this is the way they are, and when they get it right, maybe they'll get a splash. It's just the other way around. The Lord says, we're not looking for someone to get it right. We're looking to continue to splash. Continue to splash. That's our job. That's our role. To be so filled up, so glowing, so filled with the glory, so able to carry the presence of God, that the splashing is going around all around us and, of course, to the nations ultimately. It's really, think about that. Next time you're either at a water park or you have a hose in the backyard, whatever it would be, think about that, or even in the bathtub. Think about what the Lord's message might be for each one of us, because he's really increasing us more and more and more. When we're crying out in worship as we were doing at the end, there's something inside of us. We were designed by God. There's something inside of us to completely release physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, financially, in every way. We're designed to do this. It's not for somebody else. We are all of us are designed, and the Lord is looking. He's just looking for the ones who will be just as outrageous as he is. He is outrageous. He is radical. And he's saying, if you stay in this vat, allow yourself to be spread. If you stay receiving, I should say, in this vat, then God says, you will become like this. You will become like the spout. What's in the spout? This is what happens. We become like that. Our nature that was given to us when we were born again is such a brilliant nature and reflection of the Lord. He says, let me help you spend the rest of your life just to be able to reflect who you really are on the inside, which is me. The DNA of heaven resides in me. I have the DNA of heaven inside of me. And the Lord says, I want that to splash everywhere. So I want you to understand how that will look. Last week when I was speaking about, and this may be somewhat connected, well, it is somewhat connected, to last week's message on receiving, believing, destroying, and advancing. If you want to listen to that, if you weren't here, it would be helpful. But the Lord says, I'm always releasing. I'm always releasing. I'm looking for my receivers, because my rain falls on the just and the unjust. Those who are charging in love with me, and also the very religious who can't move. And it's very difficult to yell and voice, I should say, and say, Lord, I just honor you. I glorify you. I can't help it. I am opening my mouth, because the rocks and stones will cry out, Lord, you designed me to see you. And even if I don't fully believe everything yet, you are who you are, and you're going to bring me into that place as well. But I'm moving, and I'm opening, I'm cooperating with who you say I am. It's like, oh. So today when we have dinner with the less desirable in our families, possibly, or we see them, we are, you know, if that would be the case for anybody, we have to be thinking about that. It's not what we feel, what we think, and what's good for me. It's just not. We lost that right when we said yes to Jesus. It's gone. We don't have it anymore. He says, you are other-oriented. Take a bow. That is your role. You are other-oriented because I am other-oriented. And if you have my nature, then you are other-oriented. Okay? Your opinions are nice, but they just don't mean a heck of a lot if they don't match up with mine. I didn't write that, but he tells us that. You know? And so we can have our opinions and we can think what we want and have our feelings, but if they don't match up with what he's specifically saying, they're just floating out there like bubbles. And not really doing much good other than helping us stay in our potential boxes, if we have any. So I love reading about love because it always invigorates me and it helps me to continue to stay underneath the glory giver and the one who's the glory releaser in that place, that faucet of love. It's just so amazing, because then he fills us up, empowers us, and we can face that next challenge when it comes. Be it a tragedy that we call a tragedy. Okay, we found out about one this morning. It just wrecked me to the bone. Teen Mania, a wonderful ministry, and we know some people from Teen Mania and have gone overseas with them early on. They had a little Cessna, and we're not sure if it was theirs or somebody else's, and four young adults were killed. And Ron Luce's daughter, Hannah, walked away, but she still is in serious condition. So five young adults in their 20s, gone, with four gone. 3 instantly on Friday morning, and then Saturday morning, 1 more. And I heard that. It's like, what? These are people who are out serving the Lord. These are people who are out doing it for the King. Do I understand? Nope. Is God good? Yes. Am I going to stay under that glory spout? Yes. Am I a glory carrier? Yes. Are we going to stand for life for Hannah? Yes. Do we stand for life for the family that's dealing with this, asking God why? Or do we walk back and say, you know what, if I get too close to this good God, things happen. It's not worth it. It's not worth the risk. There's no truth in that, but that's what we do as humans sometimes. And the Lord says, no, I am good all the time. But it's very sobering to think that things do happen. To easily dismiss something and give our own little theology to it sometimes can be very dangerous, because we miss what God may be saying, and that is, I am a God of compassion, but I am also a God who says, receive, believe, destroy, and advance. And the people that Ron and Katie Luce are, I believe that they would continue on with Hannah, and we're going to trust for the full restoration for Hannah, to completely take that and pull in the spoils, because that's what we're designed to do. God is giving us messages in this season, and they're not fluffy. They're meant by Him to lovingly provoke us to a place of yes, yes, because He knows. He's a giver. He's a giver. He's a giver. The enemy's a taker, a taker, a taker. Okay, we sang about it this morning. He gives and takes away. But what does He give? He gives life, and He takes away the hindrance to life. That's what He's taking away. Anything that is His nature, He's blessing, 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 blessing. Wow. So let's not relegate things, even what we call tragedies and disasters, to our understanding. We need to know that our God is so big, so huge. Those lovely ones are in glory right now. I can't imagine the pain of their family. But I thank God that we have an opportunity to express the true nature of God. Okay? The Lord does not decide, I think I'll crash a plane and make them suffer and burn. What a good idea. Hannah has 28% of her body burned. Do you think that's from God? I think I'll burn her up. I mean, let's be real here. Let's be thinking about the nature of our God that we sing about. Let's think about when we're worshiping the Lord and we're watching the worship team, the Lord saying, you know what? You in heaven, I'm looking at you, and I'm in your midst anyway right here. And I'm not looking at people worshiping. I'm saying, what are my kids doing? Oh, they're doing what they were created to do, to worship me with all abandon. And that looks like something. And that looks like something in the face of adversity. It really does. That's a good word, Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Verse 18. We're still on verse 18. May be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Well, we wanted to camp on verse 19 for a minute or two or 10. To know the love of Christ. This is the knowing that he's talking about. This word is related to the word experience. It's an experiential knowing. He's saying, if you are not experiencing my love, even though you're hearing about vats and glory and water and kids and all of that, if you're not experiencing me, because I am love, then there's a disconnect somewhere, and it's not on my end. And so he says, we can know that love. That means that there's going to be an increase in inside of us, that when we leave here and we have an opportunity to be around those that we might deem challenging. I don't believe the Lord's saying there's a difficult one for you, baby. But for us, because of our humanness, we tend to move that direction if we entertain the old nature. If we don't have to. There is no requirement. Oh, I'm always battling that sin nature. Why? You're dead. Why? Because it's just hard. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I was listening to my kids this weekend, working with their little people. And I remember a couple of them saying, I don't want to go to bed. Probably so. I don't want to take that nap. I bet that's right. Come on, sweetie, let's go. Boom. You know, our daddy understands, but he also says to us, he says, hello, I gave you something. I'm asking you to receive it, which involves believing. And as you receive in my presence, as you receive, you are experiencing who you were created to be. That's the goodness of God. That's the glory of God. When Moses, in Exodus 33 and 34, really hung out with Jesus, or with the Father, he experienced God. And it was amazing. He was considered the most humble man. And he was a great example for us to learn from. But how many of us know that as the Bible continued on, generationally, there was more and more and more and more released? And so Abraham and Moses, they had a chunk of revelation from the Lord. And then David came along and took their chunk, so to speak, because he decided to involve himself in the great increase that comes generationally. Smart move, David. So David was able to discern what God was doing. He was able, through his knowing on the inside of his heart, he was able to worship the Lord and say, gee, I wonder what God really thinks about this. And he had a revelation of how God would respond. The Lord says, I want you to know, K-N-O-W, inside, how I will respond to you. Moses had an expression of that. David continued on, and Jesus finally came. And he said, you get all of that plus me, plus the new covenant. It's not enough to say, well, you know what? I live under a new and better covenant. By gosh, I'm going to sing a song. I know it's in one of the books. But the Lord says, this is amazing. Supernaturally mind-boggling. Absolutely not able to be fully comprehended logically, by reason, by revelation. Yes. Why? Why is that possible? Because Jesus said, I've got the keys to the kingdom, and I'm giving them to you. What? Why did he come? Why did Jesus come? To pay the penalty for sin and to get people healed. And he demonstrated his Father and came to reveal the Father's love. Yes, yes, and yes. But you know what else? He also came to take back that which was lost. And when he said, I'm taking it back, there wasn't this big cosmic battle between Jesus and Satan. I just want to tell you, I won't name a certain musician years ago who was always about the battle between the devil and Jesus. What is that? There is no battle between Jesus and the devil. Come on. He's a created being. This is God. This makes Jesus sound like some wimp. It is just not true. You know where the battle is? The enemy and us. That's the battle. Jesus came in. He did what he was designed to do. And it wasn't easy. Okay? It's a great, amazing thing that we'll spend the rest of our life trying to understand. But we come in and we say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. What? What? Thank you for dying for me. And raising for me, yes. But Lord, I want to know you. I want the revelatory realm to open up to me. Spirit of God living inside of me. I've got to know you. I've got to know what that looks like on the inside of me. I've got to know what I'm designed for, what I'm designed to do, to carry, how I'm able to progress forward in life. I've got to know you. I've got to know you and the power of your resurrection and share in the fellowship of your sufferings. That's what I want. That's what Paul said, And he says, that's for you. Do you want that? Yes, because I was designed for that. It says so right here, Ephesians 3:19. I was designed to know. I was designed to have that revelation. Moses had a glimpse. Abraham had a glimpse. David had a glimpse. Jesus came and he said, I am giving you the keys to the kingdom. They didn't get the keys to the kingdom. We get the keys to the kingdom. Here, take it. Receive, receive, receive. And believe that what I did is what I did. I did this for you. Believe it. Whether you feel it or not, it's true. Read the Bible. That's what he says. And he says, if you will step in and say, I dare to believe. I dare to believe. I will continue to receive. Dare to believe and watch you change me from the inside out. And that's how I'll walk out my salvation. I'll walk it out. I'll run it out. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything because I was designed for this kind of worship. This is worship. My reasonable act of worship, my reasonable act of service. Romans 12:1-2. It's not just a little memory verse. The Lord says that is reality. That is reality for you. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you will know what that good and perfect will of God is. He says, brother, and I beseech you, I urge you, Paul says, because of the mercy of God. Oh. Wow. Offer yourself. What? Just offer yourself. Jesus already did it for you. Just jump in. Offer yourself. Offer yourself. I urge you, Paul says, Romans 12:1. I urge you. Offer yourself. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. Jesus already did it. We have the great exchange. Now here I am. I offer myself as a living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God. And that is my reasonable worship. That is my reasonable act of service. Service and worship mean the same. That's amazing. It's like, wow. It doesn't get any better than that. It's like, huh? You did this for me? Don't be saying, we don't need to be saying, I'm doing this for the Lord. And we're not. Come on, don't. That's just a bunch of religious striving. I'm really doing this for Jesus. I had my devotions today. If that's true, glory to God. If that's not true, repent. It's just that simple. I don't know. It's between you and the Lord. Because the battle is between the enemy trying to steal away everything that the Lord already released. He says, that's my job. I'm trying to take from you. Steal, kill, destroy, take away. So that you're not free, bound up in your emotions. That you can't go to someone and say, how are you? I care about you. What's going on in your life? Without feeling uncomfortable because of their issues or ours? Oh, more time in that big vat will make a difference. Because the Lord will do it. He will do it. He promises that for us and to us. So when Moses in Exodus 33 and 34 was having time with God, call it mountain time, carpet time, soaking time, face-to-face time. FaceTime! Wow, brilliant! Ah, cell phones, iPhones, FaceTime. I wonder what that will bring in our thinking for those of us who have FaceTime. I could have FaceTime with God. Is that amazing? Yes. Moses had FaceTime. You don't know what it is. Sorry. Sorry. I waited a long time to get an iPhone. I have one now, so... But the idea is that God is saying face-to-face encounters with God. Why? Because he needed Moses, and he loved Moses. Both. Needed? Well, somebody had to go say, let my people go. How about him? He was chosen by God, and he had this wonderful connection with the Father. Wonderful. And he says, so tell me what it's like. What should I do? He says, well, here's what you need to do. Here's your marching orders. Here's what I want you to do. Now you spent a lot of time out in the fields. You've done a big, good job for the first 40 years you were in the palace. And then the next 40 years, you've got some training going on also. You were just raised up that first 40 years, and the next 40 you're out in the with the sheep and doing all your thing out there. So 80 would be a good age, and then maybe you can start going forward and doing some of the work for me with that's going to make a difference for the nations, for the end, for salvation, for healing, for the revelation of Jesus. Not that that first 80 wasn't important, but I think that first 80 was probably preparatory for you so that you could handle what I'm going to give you and ask you to do. It's like, okay, so you live to be 120. The last 40 were amazing. And he encountered the enemy and knew what to do as he went to Papa's help. Show me your glory, please. Okay. So his goodness passed in front of him. But his encountering with the Lord back thousands of years ago was so amazing. The Lord says, you can encounter me like Moses every day in your bedroom, every day in your car, on the floor. What? Meaning there's the capability there for us to receive. That veil has been rent and torn. God says, it's possible to know me in that secret place. It's really possible. If we live for the revelation of Jesus on the inside of us, if we live for that and say, I want to know you and I want to know your power and I'm willing to share all the way around, whatever it looks like, from Philippians 3. The Lord says, 3:10, the Lord says that's a life that I can work with. Okay? I'm still going to dump blessing. But if you're not going to receive it, the enemy will steal it. He's a stealer. He's a thief. And he wants to steal. So where our blessings are not being felt, received, it's not God's fault. And it's not the devil's fault. It's not a matter of fault. It's a matter of cause and effect, increase and decrease. The Lord's saying, I want us all to increase. That's what I'm asking for. Increase. Why? Because I sent Jesus to take back what he originally gave everybody. I gave it all away already. And the dominion, and the dominion that Adam and Eve were to have, meaning what they had was intended to spread, that dominion was short-circuited. So they gave up the garden, they gave up their rights, and we get to inherit what happened to them, what their choices were. So Jesus said, well, I better fix that one. I'll right that wrong. And so he did. He came and he wrote that wrong. He laid his life down. You can't hear this too often. You got to think about this every day. We need to think about this every day. It's like, you are amazing. Okay? I've got this facing me tomorrow. I've got this problem where I feel anxious or I feel this or I feel or I feel, I feel. And the Lord says, okay, but the reality is, what do I say about it? And what do I do about it? What is my part in this? And what is your part as you partner with me? What's that going to look like? And if you're willing to hear from heaven, then you will be able to continue to receive, never stop, believe as you increase, destroy the work of the enemy that Jesus already did, but you'll partner with the Lord in doing that and then continue to advance. It's a circular motion. Okay? When I was speaking about it last week, I was telling you about a vision that I had about a boxing ring, and there were four places on the ring. There were ropes on four sides. And I saw this vision, and I saw boxing gloves, golden boxing gloves being put on a person, but there was gold all over. The thing is, those boxing gloves aren't at point number three once you're down for the count eight times. The boxing gloves are given when we're born again. The Lord says, come here, you belong to me, put these on, and I'm going to teach you how you need to war, for sure. But the battle is not Satan versus Jesus. It's with you. And so you got the boxing gloves, but if you don't lace them up, if you don't want them, if you don't know what to do with them, if you decide not to use them, it'll be more challenging to continue to destroy, to ruin, to pummel, to completely eradicate the works of the enemy. Jesus said, that's what I've called you to do. I have come to destroy the works and the power of the enemy. Now you enforce it. You enforce it in your own life. You enforce it in your own mind. You enforce it in your own family, in your own sphere of influence. You enforce what I've already done. That's the receiving continuing. You hold those keys to the kingdom, and then you believe what God says, and they hold on for the ride, because the ride is wild. You hold on, and you stay, and you just get splashed on, overflowing, 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 as you stay low, and the Lord says there's more to come, and we keep on going. In our minds, if we think, okay, I must learn how to receive, I will take point one, and when I can do receive, then maybe I will believe, and possibly I will learn to destroy, and then maybe some year I'll be able to advance. It doesn't work like that. This is a synergistic blessing from God that he says, you are designed to receive, believe, destroy, advance. You are designed all together. That's my nature. That's what I've given to you. You no longer have this old nature from Adam and Eve. You have a new nature. New nature. Don't even entertain the old nature. So when someone comes and steps on your toes, remember how dead you are, so that you don't take the offense that maybe the enemy would love to give you. Just a few more verses. Okay. To know, verse 19, to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Verse 19, we're in Ephesians. That you may be filled up to all of the fullness of God. And do you know that knowledge is not just mental gymnastics? This is also spiritual knowledge. This is every bit of knowing that the Lord says that my love encapsulates this knowledge, but it surpasses even the revelatory knowledge, but certainly man's reasoning. It's like, what? See, I like things in order. You like things in order? We all do, don't we? We humans. But the Lord says, you're never going to... My love is beyond, because there is nothing but perfection in my love. My love is indescribable, unbelievable, uncontainable. Isn't that a song? There you go. My love is, it's just indescribable. Yeah, that's the name. That's my love. And if we are not moving in these realms, then we are lacking. We have a love deficit, and it's not from God. That's what he's saying. Let's chain it up. Let's turn up the heat a little bit so that we can have this love, or know this knowing about the love. Verse 20. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond. Okay, if we stay in that place, we will never lose. Who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. Anything that we would ask or think. That means pray without ceasing. Pray at all times. Submit yourself to God. We know that. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Yes, yes, yes. I do all those things. I've spent time with the Lord. I've spent more time with the Lord. I spent much more time with the Lord. Why isn't it happening now? If we question that, do you know that we've partnered with the enemy's lie of unbelief? We're not trusting. Okay, so if we choose to partner, we can, and then we take another step back. The Lord says you can take as many steps back as you want. But my love, trusting and believing and receiving in my love, will absolutely cause the enemy to flee, because he hates worshipers. I mean real worshipers. Oh, are you saying I'm not a real worshiper? No, I'm not. I'm saying true worship, spiritual worship, those who worship him in spirit and in truth and say, here I am, not just taking up pew space. Here I am. Okay, not just going, this is really nice. I'm feeling good inside. I think it'll just kind of spill into me and I'll be better when I leave. That's a beginning, but that's quite dull, to be honest with you. Even in the midst of trial, even in the midst of difficult circumstances, the Lord says, I still call you to rejoice. No, you didn't. That would just be mean. No, he's not mean. He's smart. And he's loving. So even in the midst, he says, just rejoice in all things. Again, I say rejoice. And present your requests, your supplications to me, Philippians 4, with thanksgiving in your heart. Make those requests known to me. But first, rejoice. Rejoice. And then the peace that passes all understanding, because you'll never be able to figure that one out. Why would that be? Because we're going through rough times. It doesn't make any sense. How could I have peace in the middle of this storm? Because I'm choosing to posture myself as we've been talking about. The peace that passes all understanding will guard. Guard. There's something specific, okay? Guard. Okay, guard means... That means I'm going to be hit. I'm going to be attacked. I'm going to be assaulted. The enemy will try to steal. Sure. Why give him any due? We're not focusing on that. There is obviously lack in his kingdom because that's what he is, Mr. Lack. Okay, but if we rejoice and keep our eyes on Jesus, then we win every time. We've already won, but the Lord says, I want you to overcome. This is how you can overcome. And this is how you can continue to receive and believe and destroy and advance. And actually, I don't know how many of you, well, don't raise your hand, but some of you may have taken that message and said, okay, I already receive. I already believe. Now I'm going to learn how to destroy. Now I can destroy. All right, I'm going to point three. That's where I'm going. Not that first, second, or those rungs. The third one, destroy. Yes, I can do that because I'm a destroyer. Yes. Are you kidding me? The enemy is going to go, what a fool. I'm not calling you that. I'm saying that's what the enemy will do. Okay? Because the Lord says, if you will receive from me and you will believe everything I say, you're turning into the greatest destroyer you can even imagine. And you're going to learn more and more how to continue to agree with what I say, which is any thought that comes my way that doesn't match up with God, bye-bye. It doesn't stay. Yes, it's that simple. It really is. It's not easy, but it's simple. And then we continue to advance as a result of doing that. Never ending. That's what love is. It's the circle of love. This is what love is. This is the greatest power there is. The Lord's just looking for people who are willing to put on the golden gloves, the boxing gloves. Because the enemy is so serious. If we signed up and said yes to Jesus, we really don't have a choice. Because the enemy will steal from our children. He will steal from our families. He will steal from us right now. That's his job. He's Mr. Lack, but I don't like hanging there. If we live in response to evil, can I say that again? Can you listen carefully, please, to this? If we live in response to evil, we make a big mistake. Don't live in response. Like, oh, that person did this. I got to rebuke that in Jesus' name. You might have to rebuke something that comes your way. There might be an atmospheric change that you weren't expecting. Going, ew, ick. Next time, Lord, I'll be the atmospheric change. Or whatever it would be. But don't live in response to the evil. The darkness. Don't live in response to darkness. Don't live in response to evil. That's not our job. Jesus says, I have called you for much higher than that. Much higher than that. You want to play in the devil's boxing ring? You can at the second level. And you could, you know, you might get beat up and try it again, get beat up, try it again, beat up, try it again, beat up, try it again. But you'll never get anywhere. The Lord says, it's got to be in my kingdom, the glory realm. This is where you need to hang. This is where you need to be. This is where you receive, you believe. This is where you destroy. This is where you pull down the heavenly answers that you need. And the enemy at the second heaven is saying, I don't want you going there. I don't want you doing that. I don't want you at all connecting on that level because that scares me. That's where true worshipers hang out. That's where people who really say, no matter what, you, no matter how I feel, you, no matter what is going on around me, you, one thing, Psalm 27:4, one thing, Lord, this is what I want, this is what I need, is to be in your house, to dwell in your house all the days of my life. That's it. Simplify your life that way. And you will be driven to read the word. You can't even stop. I've got to read the word. I've got to find out more. He makes himself known in the word. You won't constantly say, oh, I should read the word. I should read the word. I don't read the word. I should read the word. You will want to, because we're designed to worship. And true worshipers will know his word. Know who he is. Verse 20. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Wait a minute here. Now to him who is able, let's read it again, him who is able. So we started out with, for that reason I bow my knee, verse 14. Now we're in 20. Now to him who is able to do so. In other words, he's going to carry me because I'm bending my knee and he's worthy and he carries. That's his job. He's a carrier and Satan is a slacker. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond anything we could ever muster up, think about, ask for, or imagine. Way beyond. There's always going to be more. There's going to be more that spills out. And then when he spills out through us, in us, to us, that we spill out through us or to others as well. According to the power that works in us. Make no bones about this one. It says according to the power. There's no lack in the Lord. And he's constantly releasing. But he's saying, for this to all work for you, it's going to work according to the power in you. Everybody has the Spirit of God dwelling inside of them if you're born again. But the power being released, knowing the Spirit of God, knowing him intimately, that's where the key is. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's in the ring, so to speak, when the enemy's on trying to move in towards us in any way. Holy Spirit's with us. According to the power being released inside of us, that's where we're going to see the changes. And we can actually make a decision. If we kind of go up and down, up and down, and up and down, do you know that we can make a decision and say, I'm done with that? And when we do that and say, well, I did that before and it didn't work, you can do that today and say, wow, this is my day. And this can be the day that will mark you the rest of your life. Another marking. We all have marks on us. Remember when Jesus was being beat up before he was crucified? And what did the magistrate said? Mark him. Mark him well. He took those marks for you and me. And he's saying, I took that mark. I died for you, and I died as you. And you died with me. That's phenomenal. And that's life-changing. That can change the course of our moving and our thinking. We can stop the train we're on and say, that's it. I'm doing an about-face right now. On any level, for any decision, for any place in our own life, we can do that. But it really comes down to our own desire for how much we want to value. Do we value him? Do we want to value him more? He is worthy of the highest honor, the highest value. Nobody can change that. But he's saying, who will recognize my value? Who will be the one? Who will be the one? Who will be the one? Okay, who will be the one? He is the one, and he says, who will be the one with me? And God's saying, I want to take you deeper. If you think you're free, there's more freedom. If you think you're not free, there's more freedom. Okay, so, I mean, I'm getting excited just preaching this. Because the Lord says, for you, there's more. It's like, yes, oh, I know it. But boy, to be able to say it and agree with it, agree with heaven. When you agree with heaven, it's always a win. When you agree with Mr. Lack, it's always loss. Preferring. What would happen if we really preferred others? Really? Really? I can't give up that. Why not? Why not? Because they don't deserve it? Because they didn't do it right before? Because they're really not where they should be? Who made you judge? Who made me judge? That's challenging. Challenging to me. So my job is to expose and undo the works of the enemy I wrote a note on my notebook, excuse me, at the very end last night, and I said, Lord, do I take the presence of God, your presence, for granted? Do I take you for granted? Do I take your presence for granted? And when I heard that, I love you, honey, it's like, oh, Lord, I want your presence. I want to live for your presence. I want more of your presence. I want your presence to follow me. I want to be used by you to do great exploits for you, which means that you get the glory, the honor, the praise because of your presence. You show up. Wouldn't it be great when we get, there will be a day, and I'm ready for it, when all we come in here and do is worship, because we're all just so phenomenally so in love with Jesus that his word comes alive. His presence is exalted. Do you know what happens? Do you know what David figured out, you guys and gals? David figured out something. He figured out how God responds to our worship. Do you know what he figured out? He figured out that God just comes more. He just shows up more. He just keeps showing up. He just keeps coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming. And there's more. I mean, can you imagine? More of God. How simple is that? So are we driven by presence, or is that a cliche? That'll make a difference. It'll change us. The Lord's saying, this is what I want. When I gave you me, the picture of the boxing ring and all that, the Lord doesn't want his kids getting beat up. He doesn't like that. He wants you to stand. Jesus stood. But he gives us the ability and the equipment and the training, and it gives us everything to be able to do that. And when we don't, he understands, and he says, it's okay, worship me with everything. Worship me in every way, your whole life, everything about me. Worship me, worship me, worship me. We're just going to worship. We're going to end today worshiping the Lord. Yeah, just worshiping the Lord, saying, Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for your expression of how valuable you are and how you value me so much. Thank you. Thank you that I can come alive in a deeper way. Thank you, Lord. I so want to recognize and value your presence. Even when my children want my attention. For, you know, good parents, that's certainly a challenge. But it can't be an excuse. Okay, think about those words. Challenge versus excuse. Two different meanings. When we're challenged, God equips us and helps us. When we're looking for an excuse, we're not changed. Can you see that? If we receive it as condemnation, the Lord says, no, I created you for challenge, not for excuse. Challenge is good. We want to be challenged. So let's just worship the Lord and see what God wants to do. Finish up and just say, Lord, I love you. I bless you. I take these things to heart, and I want more of you. I want more of you. If there's something that you do need to dump, then dump. We all need a good dumping time. So feel free to do that. Feel free to do that. You know? Just worship the Lord. He's the one that says, sweetie, I love you just the way you are. He says that to boys too, males and females, sweetie. Okay. He's just his love. He says, I love you. I love you. Just, I don't want you getting hurt anymore. Come on. Let's keep going. Let's keep moving. Because I created you for advancing. And do you know that every time you worship me, you're advancing? Really worship me with everything inside. Just worship me. See my value. See my worth. See that I'm a treasure. See who I am. See that I'm someone who adores you. And you're becoming more and more like me because you're my kid. You're in my family. Do you see that as an honor and a privilege? You will. more and more as you worship me. Because I'm so good. I'm so good. Are your eyes on me? Yeah. Keep your eyes on me. Be set. Set your heart like flint. Set your eyes on me. And you will rise. That's how you advance, dear child. And if you need to connect with the Lord more personally than sitting in the pew, then you can come up. You can lay on the floor on this beautiful carpeting, or you can go up to the altar in the front, the steps, or stay where you are, close your eyes, do whatever you want to do. But connect with Him, the ultimate giver of love.